Esau wanted the stew before it was even fully cooked, which for red lentils is a relatively short time. This corresponds to the tenor of the rest of Esau's demand to literally pour the red stuff down his throat. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah Episode 96, Raw Lentils and Raw Lamb. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is perhaps the most famous culinary episode involving lentils in the world, and it is certainly, from the Judaic perspective, the most important, influential, and consequential occurrence involving lentils ever. A moment in which the eldest son of Isaac and Rebekah revealed his unworthiness for the covenant. Here is one standard translation of the Hebrew text. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me swallow, I pray thee, some of this red, red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me first thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am going to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me? Let me swallow, I pray thee, some of this red, red pottage." Therefore, we are informed, he was called Edom, meaning red. As I noted in Bible 365 and Genesis Weekly, this seems ostensibly incredibly odd. The nation that descended from Esau was called Edom, which means red, apparently because Esau, requested red, red lentils, red, red stew. On the face of it, of course, there is an entirely other reason for Esau to be known as Edom. From his very birth, he was Admoni, which means ruddy or reddish. As I put it, I think, in Bible 365, imagine learning that Wilt Chamberlain was known as Wilt the Stilt, not because he was tall, but because once he happened to buy a pair of stilts. That would be very, very strange. But this is what appears to be applied in appellation to Esau here. The answer has been given by Chef and Rabbi Gil Marks, author of many important articles about Judaism and food and of the Magisterial Encyclopedia of Jewish Food. Marx's explanation has been cited by others after him, and it will help us explain our mitzvah for the day. The reddishness of the lentils here, Rabbi Marx noted, means that it was actually uncooked and still raw. And that meant that he didn't even want to wait just a little bit. Rabbi Marx puts it this way, and note again, he was also a chef. Quote, "Esau wanted the stew before it was even fully cooked, which for red lentils is a relatively short time, in as little as 10 minutes once the water is boiling. This corresponds to the tenor of the rest of Esau's demand to literally pour the red stuff down his throat, not even taking time to chew or savor it. And in fact, since red lentils tend to turn pink or golden as they cook, a red hue would seem to indicate an underdone state." End quote. So Rabbi and Chef Marx noted, and the point is that in asking for it red, that meant he wanted it now, immediately, raw, uncooked, or as Rabbi Marx puts it, undercooked. And he thereby showed unwillingness to engage in self-control and patience, virtues essential for Judaic observance, for embrace of the Judaic heritage, for observance of the mitzvot that we are studying in this series. That very word, red, Adom, give it to me, Adom, was transmuted into his name given by the Bible, Edom, for this was indeed a significant moment, setting the stage for what would happen next, the ultimate inheritance of the Abrahamic covenant by Jacob. I believe that it is only with this in mind that we can truly understand our mitzvah for the day which inaugurates, inspired by our current calendar, a series of mitzvot. According to the Talmud, one begins to study the laws of Pesach, Passover, 30 days before the holiday. As such, we will be engaging in an examination of the manifold mitzvot affiliated with Pesach over the next weeks. And today, as will occur in other episodes in the days to come, we speak of the laws of the central symbol of Pesach, indeed the offering from which the name derives, the Paschal Lamb. A korban offering that, as we will see later, can be actually either a lamb or a young goat. Many laws are emphasized regarding this offering that are not enunciated when it comes to other altar-related rituals. One of them, stated explicitly from the very beginning, as the paschal details were delineated by Moses in Egypt, is lo tochlu mimenu na. One must not eat the paschal lamb in a raw state. As we will see, the offering can only be consumed at tzli esh, roasted over fire. Now the roasting will of course remove the blood that is inside the meat, blood that is itself forbidden according to Jewish law. But even if the blood was removed through other means, such as salting, as is the case in the preparation of kosher meat today, if the meat was still raw, it would be prohibited to eat it. Why is this so? The reason for roasting specifically as a form of preparation will be discussed in another episode, but why is there a unique prohibition when it comes to the offering of the Exodus that it must not be raw? The answer, I would suggest, is that the covenantal tale of Jacob and Esau is remembered again here, and the Israelites, on the eve of liberation, are reminded that central to the covenant is self-control, waiting for the moment of readiness in the offering preparation. For self-control and patience is a virtue necessary and central to what is about to occur. Rabbi Marks, as I further noted in Bible 365, explained that Esau, in his own approach to eating, was, quote, begging to wolf down an undercooked dish, an act of animalistic gratification, far from spiritual expression, end quote. In contrast, the Israelites are reminded that actually self-control and obedience to law is built into freedom itself. For if this people, upon leaving Egypt, utilized the release from the fetters of slavery merely to embrace unchanneled, unrestricted urges, then it would reveal that it did not understand what freedom was all about. I often cite the theologian George Weigel, who, himself citing a commentator of Thomas Aquinas by the name of Pinkers, compares freedom to learning to play a piano. As Weigel, citing Pinkers, put it, quote, it's a bit like learning to play a musical instrument. Anyone can bang away on a piano, but that is to make noise, not music, and it's a barbaric, not humanistic expression of freedom. At first, learning to play the piano is a matter of some drudgery, as we master exercises that seem like a constraint, a burden. But as our mastery grows, we discover a new, richer dimension of freedom. We can play the music we like. We can even create new music on our own. Freedom, in other words, is a matter of gradually acquiring the capacity to choose the good and to do what we choose with perfection, end quote. So Weigel writes, and thus, on the very eve of freedom, the Israelites remember the raw eating of Esau and do the opposite. And thus, in the bringing of the paschal offering, remind all of us what genuine freedom is all about. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.